I hit a wasp nest with my weed eater last Saturday. I thought,
oh, and they all attacked you.
16 or 18 bites. Oh, around my ribs. It's horrible. First time ever in my life. Never worried about bees, wasps. Never. Different attitude now.
Well, that's a bee. Those round nests are cherry managers. It's like stepping on a landmine.
That's dead. Exactly.
Wow.
All right, Richard, you can start the meeting whenever you're ready.
All right, we'll call the meeting order. This is a regular commission meeting of the Port of Brooklyn Charter Commission, Wednesday, August 16th at 2 o'clock. Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Danielle, roll call, please.
Larry.
Here.
Sharon.
Here.
Joe.
Here.
Richard.
Here. Are there any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda?
Once we get to, action item H and J, I have revised numbers for those contracts. And a letter from the EPA for information item B. So those are added.
Okay. You just have more material. They're already agendized.
They're already agendas. They're just documentation.
All right. Okay. I asked if there's any modifications or changes. Any others? Anybody have? You declare a potential conflict of interest.
No.
Okay. All right. With that, I'll take a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Approval of meeting minutes.
It looks good to me.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes, the meeting. I'm going to do both the Thursday the 6th and Wednesday the 19th.
I second it.
Okay, well, motion to second. Danielle?
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Bring this to public comment. I have two here, starting with Mike Murphy.
Good afternoon. My comment has to do with action item I. This dredging that the port's going to purchase is a fantastic idea. I think it's going to solve a lot of issues with the port itself. Travis got a team that can run it. This is good. I do have a couple of questions that hopefully will help the board make sure that they're crossing your T's and dotting your I's. One of them is the position, the place where you're going to store the clamshell sand out of the dredge so it can cure. That would be right in front of the fuel tanks. Am I correct there? And I was wondering, one, do we know if that land is strong enough to support the weight of all the dredges that come out of there? In other words, if we had an engineer drill holes and make sure that nothing's going to go wrong. If you look at it from just directly, you're not going to see the issue, but you're a little higher, a little crow's nest, I can look over. The north bank is already collapsing as we can see it. So I would advise the commission to at least have an engineer check, make sure that soil is dense enough put the weight of that clam sand on it. And the other issue is, because it's so toxic that it cannot go back into the ocean, but yet the board has decided to store it in front of the fuel tanks, which you all know is a dust bowl. When the wind blows, it's going to blow all that sand all over hell. And it could prevent, you know, could really present a problem with the drainage, with the sand being blown all over and then it rains and it goes in. It could present a problem with DEQ. I hope we can resolve it. I think one of the ways to resolve it would be you need to contain it. You just can't build little blocks around it. And hopefully, you know, it'll cure on its own. I mean, it's just going to take a little bit of thought on this. Because now, because it's too toxic put back in the ocean, you're going to have that toxicity blowing all over hell in harbor. So, you know, I mean, pick your poison. Just make sure you check your, you know, just whatever. What I think needs to be done, so.
All right. My second comment is Dan Fraser.
I'd like to speak as currently as the Harbor Water president of the board, thanking the port for shutting off the water during our emergency that we had almost 2 weeks ago. Parts are finally, I hope to say they're en route right now. Our supplier from Medford failed to put them on a truck this morning. So we sent staff to go pick up the last parts that we need. So hopefully tomorrow we can get that repair made and Friday everything will be up and running. But again, thank Travis and the port for shutting down the water and working with us on that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any further comments, Danielle, to work?
I did not receive that.
Okay. All right, that brings us to the management and financial report.
Okay. For the RV park, staff completed setup for the 4th of July fireworks. The fallout area was coned off and the front entrance to the park was closed. The port would like to say thank you to the South Coast fishermen who volunteered to manage and patrol the fallout area. Thank you to Henry Johnson for the coordination of the event, along with the help from all volunteers that helped and participated in the beach cleanup. Overall feedback was very positive with the gates being closed at the park. In fact, it was much safer for the guests and visitors to navigate through the park and to the beach. RV park occupancy was 71%. In the marina, Oregon State Marine Board was out to do inspections on our pump out stations. Pump outs are operational, although staff is still working with sanitizers to fix the modem so we can calculate the usage. OSMB also was out to recertify our marina to be a clean marina. This inspection happens every 3 years and covers storm drain maintenance, signage throughout the port to report any spills, confirms mortgage requirements applicable to the funding with OSMB and derelict vessel programs. The port will be receiving a certificate showing our compliance with our program. Vessel inspections are ongoing. One vessel was inspected and passed the mortgage requirements and two others were scheduled. Boat launches in July were down. They were about 600 launches, significantly down from last year and previous years. I think there was wind. I'm not sure. It was a lot fewer fishable days. Daily mortgage and storage are starting to climb back up, even with the low number of boat launches. It's pretty much on par with the previous years about the usage of those docks. Equipment services performed, telehandler, there was two for the month of July. Travel of haulouts, there was 9. Commercial receiving docks, public hoist, Hallmark Seafood and Bornstein Seafood hoist are operational, with the exception of Bornstein's hoist right now, which they're not currently using or operating there at this point. Their hoist has been removed for channel dredging, and a little extra with that, the Quinn is still supposed to be back in about 3 weeks to finish up more. They had a kind of emergency tilting in issue on the Columbia that they had to leave and go take care of. So the wind, same thing with the boat launches and the fishable days. It's the same for the dredge coming in here. The weather conditions have been right. So this year has taken quite a bit longer than it's ever taken them to finish this out. And then Pacific Seafood, we did put a piece of concrete over the deteriorating part of the dock. In the future, couple months or so, we'll have to talk with Jack and kind of devise a plan, or at least acknowledge that it's deteriorating and continue to monitor it, see how there's funding available to fix it. Marine surveyors, they were out and they inspected all the dock hoists and our travel lift. All inspections were completed for except for steam hoist, which they will come back and inspect after the dredging is complete. But we have received all of our certificates and all the hoists and the travel lifts are compliant. Commercial retail buildings, one new lease was created for Brookings Real Estate LLC. An air conditioning unit was replaced at the Bell and Whistle. July events went well with no major problems to report. Review of all leases that needed to be amended or new leases that will need to be completed. So we do have some leases coming up that we'll be addressing in our next meeting. Staff completed 118 work orders for the month of July. Most of the work focused on the retail area and event preparation, inspections from the OSMB, and equipment inspections by marine surveyors. And then there was some work with gear storage for FEMA and the sediment storage areas. Office staff turned in our fiscal year 23-24 budget, was submitted to the county clerk and assessors. Post-seizure process for it's not a fishing vessel, it's a recreational vessel, American made. Started the review of all information and agreements and packets at the front office. Project managers identifying small infrastructure upgrades and creating a scope of work for procurements for board approval. All office staff is still keeping in a significant task completed list, which is attached. FEMA staff began work in the boatyard, creating a sediment storage area for clamshell dredging. This area will stockpile approximately 3,000 yards of material. Staff cleaned out the gear storage area for the sediment storage area. All crab pots will be relocated to the new storage area and gear will be reorganized and moved to Pacific Seafood Leak area. Procurements were completed for the generator, 8-inch pipe, and trailer for equipment to move throughout the port. Revised quote for the DRP 120 dredge and option list along with other comparable dredges. Wastewater treatment plant permit application and annual fee were submitted and received by the DEQ. Port received reimbursement payments for payment request number 2 for the application and annual fee. The reimbursements are still at 75% until matching funds are obtained. Matching funds waiver I have under here is still under review by the EPA, but we will be talking about that in information item B about the cost share waiver. Any questions? Go ahead.
The modem for the Santa Sailor?
So the Santa Sailor is how the usage is calculated in them. It goes through a phone line that is then goes to, it's called Marine Sync, and they use modems. So OSMB, because they're a grant from OSMB, they also physically watch them and monitor them. There was the network upgrade that came, I'm not exactly sure, but there was a network upgrade that required a new modem. Well, we got the new modem, and it also then required antennas, syncing them together, and we're kind of the first port to go under this transfer, and we found that MarineSync wasn't exactly prepared for us either. So, but with that being said, as of yesterday, they are up and running and operational. So,
if I remember correctly, I know I remember correctly, but I would understand then that the repair work that had to be done at Pacific Seafood would be eligible for funding under our landing fee, the funds that are generated by the landing fee.
Yep, it would be considered as one of those things that we could use for a repair. Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a safety report?
Yep. Port staff had a safety meeting to discuss wildfire smoke, heat illness awareness, and what to do in an incident. We recorded 8 incidences for the month of July. We had a port patron accidentally accelerate into the fence over at the public fishing pier and bent the fence and broke the pole, so we replaced that. We did have 2 individuals that were trespassed from port property for sleeping and kind of harassing patrons and business owners, so they have been removed from port property. 4 aces in the port came across 46 security issues for the month of July. Monthly inspections were completed for the stormwater pollution control plan. We did have the Pirate Festival this weekend, and then the next event that we have is September 23rd through the 25th, which is Stocktoberfest. So it's supposed to be like Oktoberfest, but Stocktoberfest. That's all I have.
Okay. Any comments?
Yes, hopefully the October 5th will be a calmer time than less.
The one I worry about, the one coming up.
It was wild.
The Pirates is always a little interesting.
Yeah.
You know we already had it.
Oh, that's right, I wasn't here, so.
Yeah,
last weekend. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't over there cleaning my boat when the cannon went off and I jumped out.
You wouldn't have been able to.
I would comment again, I think we talked about this after the event, but I thought the 4th of July was superb.
Yep.
I know the notion of closing the road was not necessarily unpopular, but there were some folks who weren't excited about it, but having spent almost the whole day down there, whole different vibe, entirely different. Mm-hmm. Calm, peaceful, people wandering around, no issues, it was great. So. Okay, approval for the management and financial report.
Let her go through the financial
report. Oh, I'm sorry.
I can skip it if you'd like.
No, that's okay.
Okay, so looking back for July 2023, our unrestricted cash and equivalents totaled $340,658. Our restricted cash and equivalents totaled $607,697. Our total checking and savings is currently at $948,355. Our total revenue for all funds was $344,054. Total expenses was $425,073, bringing our net income to -$81,019. Some of those purchases are the tractor that we bought, so that negative is where that comes from. You know, we're starting to buy big things. So.
And we haven't been
reimbursed.
We weren't reimbursed yet.
I'm going to hope we made the point that the $81,000 is not gone. It's just temporarily not there.
Right.
Not there, yeah.
Total income for all funds is 3.5%, with general fund revenues at 12.3%. Total expenditures for all funds is 4.3%, with general fund expenditures at 7.5%. Those total numbers are going to be low. We talked about it, Travis and I, because we bought so much money budgeted for income and expenses with FEMA that they're going to look low until that money starts moving out and coming back in. So just keep that in mind for the next few meetings.
Yeah, this is going to be a different walk through this fiscal year because we're in a place we've never been before.
Yeah.
And,
a very careful juggle right now.
Well, I'm gratified. I'm convinced you're on top of it and doing well, and that's good. I mean, this is going to be one of those pulling a string through the straw kind of thing to make this all work. But
yeah, and just we have a good plan with the monies we're using. We're not affecting any of the operating part of our money for the port, and you know, the $300,000 that we approved last meeting for it is what's really helping keep all this flowing. So, yes, tight, but our plan's still going according to plan.
I'm always reminded after, and I don't care which administration you have, whenever we have a big disaster, if FEMA comes in and says, we're going to help you. Yeah, sometime, you know, but for people that don't have a house anymore, that's got to be like tomorrow, not 3 years from now when you get all the paperwork completed.
Right.
Interesting process.
Any questions?
Questions?
No.
Now, we'll do the management report approval.
I make a motion to approve the management and financial reports as discussed.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and second, Danielle.
Larry?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. Okay, this brings us to action item A, the commissioner vacancy.
Okay. The overview, July 6th, board approved a vacancy for position number 5. The court received 3 applicants before the deadline of August 8th. We did have 1 late applicant that was received on August 10th. It is then provided for you, but it was late. Per SDAO, we don't need to do that. So when a vacancy on the board occurs on a district board between elections, the vacancy shall be filled by appointment by a majority of the remaining board members. If there is not a majority of the board available, or if a majority of the board cannot agree on filling the vacancy, the county commissioners will fill the position. So that's, we do have to fill this vacancy. And if we can't come to an agreement on this, then the county commissioners will. So attached with this is kind of just some extra information on filling vacancies that's provided by SDAO. So attached to these are applicants, their written letter to the port for their consideration. The way we're going to do this is that each one of the commissioners have a sheet of paper with the name of the applicant on them. You will score them 1 through 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. The highest total score is selected applicant for the commissioner number 5. We will have you guys go through. I'm assuming you guys have all read these. You guys will go ahead and vote on those, tally what you are, hand them back into us. I think we're going to take a quick break. The commissioners need to go out and vote on the artwork. We will tally the votes and then we'll give them back to the commissioners to make a selection.
And to be clear, the vote on the artwork has nothing to do with the court.
It does not.
No, it's going to give us a chance to tally up the votes, and we're going to take a quick recess.
In support,
you guys have other stuff to do.
In support of the art at the port, which the commission since it started, has provided our money out of our pocket to provide a prize to somebody or the painting which we select. So we'll do that and then notify the Art of the Port folks.
So the applicants, total of 4. 1 is Dan Frazier, 1 is Gary Klein, 1 is June McGraw, and the one that came in late was Tiffany Bird. So those are the applicants that we have.
Okay, comment?
Tiffany Berg's app came in 2 days late. Are we going to accept it?
We're going to vote on it. I think that's up to you.
So we're not going to, we're just going to score. We're not going to vote on whether to accept her or not. How's that?
Well, that's a decision. If you think we should not do that, we cannot do that because we did set a written.
I'm asking the question. My concern is, if there's somebody out there that wanted to apply and didn't apply, and we accepted hers 2 days late, could somebody else have applied that we left out? I mean, asking the question is all arrogant.
Well, Travis did have somebody that came in and asked if they could
turn in late.
Mm-hmm. Today.
There was another one today. However, I didn't receive anything, and it's it. I was going to accept them no matter what, and let you guys make this decision, but that is completely up to you.
So you're saying by voting, if we don't want to accept the late one, we do it in our tally?
In my mind, first of all, I'm very grateful we got four applicants, and I thank the people for applying.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I take those sort of things into account on my vote.
Okay.
So, and I think that we have an interesting mix of people here. We've got two folks who are involved with the commercial fisheries here and are longtime meeting attenders and are pretty familiar with things. We have another person who moors a boat here and is involved with fisheries here. And then we have a fourth person who has no financial ties to the port. And I, in my opinion, probably would look at things in a little bit different fashion. It's important in my mind when I look at this to remember that out of the port district, a small percentage of people in the port district have any tie to the port at all in terms of fishing or own a business or anything like that. This is an asset for them that they look at, but we don't often hear from them. So I think we have quite a bit of diversity here and our opportunity to kind of look at how we would structure the board going forward with this chance. And frankly, we've got four pretty good candidates that are not, I don't know how to say this appropriately, but they're not totally oblivious as to what goes on down here. So that's kind of my thoughts about this. Okay. Any further comments? All right, then I'd suggest that we take...
I have a comment. So, does he have a relative that is, does he vote on this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There is no financial
gain. I have asked this question, and there is nothing that would hinder him or stop him from voting on this situation, given the circumstances.
I think you're kind of, you're stepping around the nepotism law. And so nepotism would apply if the person was going to be financially remunerated. Then you might have some issues, but that's not the case here. And that's a volunteer position, so I'm pretty sure that's not an issue. In fact, I'm sure that's not an issue.
I just wanted to know.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I had the exact same question, and I wanted to make sure I had a positive answer for you, because I thought the same thing, that is there, could there be, and there is not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So with nothing further, I would suggest that we take some time to fill this out, and then when we're done, we'll give them to Travis, and we'll adjourn outside and try and decide on a winner for the art, and then we'll come back in. Okay.
Just do the first call.
Yeah, I've never really made one of these before, so you can, there's a lot to critique. We didn't put down their names.
Well,
which commissioner, so we knew, but it can. Only matters on my sheet. They only needed one line.
I haven't started doing anything.
No, this is already a little bit late, but one of the applicants, Gary Klein, is in surgery, and that's why he couldn't be here.
Oh.
I know that's late, and I'm sorry, it just smacked me in the side of the head.
So,
not
that would affect him serving?
No. No, it's just affects the attendance.
Okay, so it's 2:28. I suggest we return at 2:45. commence again.
Okay.
So we will be in German until 10:45.
Sounds good.